Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Welcome to the Undressing Room podcast, presented by Macy's. What's up, L'Oreal?
Hi, Eva. You look amazing. Our hair kind of looks the same. I got dressed.
It does look the same. You're giving me beauty in the morning, honey. I am here for it. This beauty is on a beautiful week. It is perfect timing for it. And speaking of timing, research is showing that at this current time, there are not enough Black men or eligible Black men out there to fit the needs of Black women, girl.
Surprise, surprise.
We're going to talk about the research. Plus, my girl Rashida and her husband Kirk say that their marriage issues being displayed on reality television has helped other couples. Would you look at that? Well, what hasn't helped other couples is Will Smith seeing a version of his career slipping away before that slap. Oh my God, what happened?
And also, Viola Davis, we love her. Yes. Amazing. She shares a microaggression and colorism experiences that she's had across her career. Super sad and disgusting, wow. But we'll tell you all about it as well as it going down in my DA. Yeah! Now, for our final question to undress, you already know it gets crazy on the Undressing Room podcast, and I had to hold myself back, and Eva had to hold herself back, but this happened. Not all guys, but certain guys. I know guys that have nothing but daughters, and they're the worst. Yeah, Eva. Don't hold me back.
What?
Yeah, it's going down.
Oh, Lord.
So listen to see how we undress this whole entire mess on the Undressing Room podcast, brought to you by Macy's.
You know what? I got to give a little shout out to Macy's. You know, I love Macy's. They're always pulling up.
Go Macy's.
Now, they are always involved in what we care about in the community. It is that time of the year again, everybody. Yes, it is Pride. So join Macy's this Pride Month as the Trevor Project National Pride partner for the fourth year in a row. They have raised over $3.4 million to help more than 53,000 LGBTQ young people in crisis.
That is amazing. We have to help them continue their impact by rounding up your purchases in store. It's super simple, easy as that. You can also donate online this month and to support suicide prevention services for the LGBTQ youth. And
we
know it's not really easy out here when you have people judging you and you may not be, you may feel a little different than others because that's how people make you feel. You know, so sometimes you make people feel down and we want to make sure that that is not the case, or at least we can donate.
How can we help again? Tell me.
Okay, so you can shop LGBTQ-owned brands and Pride merch from brands like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Coach. It's a bunch of different varieties and more. You can find all of this out by going to Macy's.com/purpose.
And you can get some cute clothes while you
do it.
Come on, Macy's. I like the way you're doing this year.
You see what I mean? They still trying to figure out what they got going on. They don't need you to make any more problems. Go on and donate and
go
do what you got to do. Make
all
a
right.
difference.
Macy's.com/purpose. I'm here for that. Now, speaking of purpose, what's going on with these statistics? What are they saying in the research about these men out here?
They're saying that there's not enough Black males who fit the needs of Black women. Go figure. Now, on All Black Social Society, recently they interviewed the host of Marry Me Now, Rebecca Lynn Pope, and asked her why Black men are struggling in the relationship department. Well, she breaks down why it's harder for Black women to get married, and it's because they're accelerating faster than Black men. Now, based on research, women want to marry men on their level or higher financially and economically in status. Now, here's what she had to say.
What do you think the challenge is that women are having, Black women in particular, when it comes to becoming a wife? Well, honestly, keeping it 100, yes. There's not enough eligible Black males who fit the needs of Black women. By the time you dissect the demographics of finances, sexual orientation, what you end up drilling down into, because Black women tend to want to marry Black men.
Right, right.
You're now dealing with people who are either financially not ready. A lot of Black women are starting businesses at 4.5 times the rate of any other population or ethnic group, sex, 4.5 times more than men, twice as more than white women. So Black women are excelling. They're getting accelerated degrees, graduate degrees, doctorate degrees. They're starting businesses. Black women are running circles around men.
Right.
And it's also shown in research that women want to marry on their same level of financial and educational status.
Yeah.
So if you're a Black woman making $150,000 a year with a master's degree, you tend to want to marry a Black man on that same level or higher.
Wow. I'm about to be brawny. Find me my white man, okay?
Listen, oh my goodness, there's so much in this. So I feel, sis, I think there are two things in this that stuck out to me. One of them is this idea. It kind of came up this morning on the morning show. We touched on it a little bit, but just the idea that we all out here trying to get married and have kids anyway. So let's start with that topic. The idea that if you meet a 32-year-old single Black woman, it's because she has failed to find love versus she has prioritized herself and her career.
Yeah.
Not everyone is built for marriage and not everyone prioritizes marriage.
That's
and I think
right.
It is
Me.
Very disgusting to assume that because I am a woman, I am out here looking for a man to do anything for me, at
Period.
Least fill me up, at best provide and protect me. And so that is the first problem, I believe. The second issue I think we really have is the idea of what a man is supposed to be per the Black community and what a woman is and is supposed to be per the Black community. Because
Did you see that TikTok with the girl that was like, basically she's like, be available, but not too available.
Oh, I posted it today. I have a post. I literally posted maybe 20 minutes before we hopped on to do our podcast this morning. And it talks about society's idea of what a woman is supposed to be. You're supposed to be, you know, a great mom, but you got to get out in the workforce. But if you work too much, then you neglect home. You're supposed to put out
selfish.
For the man on a dime, but you're also supposed to be a person that has respect and standards and your
and
own person.
Like,
it doesn't matter what you do. At the end of the day, Black men culturally and traditionally have been taught that the woman that presents in this 2022 is not the Black woman that grandma said she was supposed to be. So
right.
We find ourselves at an impasse because I'm trying to be the best that I can be. But you don't want that much. You just want just a little bit.
Let's let them hear the clip.
Oh, don't worry. Society expects plenty from women. We're expected to age gracefully, but never let ourselves go, work like we have no children, and parent like we have no job. They'll call the stay-at-home mother unfulfilled, but the working mother selfish, all while childless women are considered incomplete. Go chase that career, but never at the expense of a family. Think like a man if you want to be successful, but don't act like one if you want to be liked. We're supposed to mother our husbands, but never treat them like children, and put out on demand, but demand respect. Married and miserable is better than single and happy. Don't stay with an abusive man, but never break up your family. Don't marry a bum for love, but don't stay with a successful man for security. Don't be dependent on a man for money, but don't emasculate them by earning more. They'll tell us to embrace our sexuality, but have some self-respect, and to care about our appearance, but stop looking for attention. Just say no, but let him down easy. Be aware of your surroundings, but stop being so dramatic. Practice self-love, but don't love yourself too much. Dream big, but stay small, and would you like me to keep going?
I'm just saying. It's like, what are we supposed to be?
But I did want to ask you, okay, so with all that being said, right, do you feel, and I joked around a little bit at the beginning of this
you
topic.
You always joke. That's all you,
and
that's
I said,
all you
yeah,
do.
And I love to joke. It's like, I love to laugh. So yes. I said, well, I'm about to go brawny. Now, with that being said, do you think that more Black women should be open to dating outside of their race? Because a key thing that I heard there is something that Black men don't do. And that's us Black women always pretty much see ourselves being and marrying a Black man.
We love our Black men. Yeah. We seek out our Black men.
They don't love us as much.
We love them. And I don't want that sense of self-love and that sense of Black love to ever die. Instead of us changing our ideas, I hope that the Black men pull up and they understand that we got they front, they back, they side. We had them, we made them, we raised them, we love them, we support them. And I just wish that they could feel our love in its truth so that they don't feel the need to go elsewhere. But by the same token, love is love. God is love. And if a man finds love in a woman, be it whatever color she is, I'm not mad at it. But by the same token, Black women, we like our men. We love our men. I love my husband. He Black as it is. All three of my Black brothers, my Black daddy, my Black boys I'm raising. And so don't lose hope in our Black men, sis, because if we don't keep the hope, then no one else will. Don't lose the hope.
And I do want to say I appreciate the Black men that are out there really standing up for Black women, really saying how much they love and appreciate, because there are a lot of Black men out there like that. But unfortunately, you know, the voice comes through of those that are doing the opposite, you know, and it is hurtful when you go to march for and battle for and do all this for the Black man. And then they're turning around and degrading, raping, taking advantage of, beating, and robbing, because I've been seeing a lot of Black men lately that just don't even care, and they're
robbing. Run up season. It's run up season.
They're robbing Black women, and I remember when I was younger, that was one thing where it was like women and children to certain gangsters. It's like off limits. Like, you're not gangster if you're doing this to a woman.
Since the game of the rules to the game have been completely abolished.
They started carrying
on Sundays, not at the grandma house. Like, the whole rule book for gangsters is thrown away.
Girl, ever since they started carrying purses.
Oh. A lot of times in life, you realize your purpose on your journey. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And
that's right.
Rashida and Kirk Frost, I believe, a beautiful couple.
And put him on to make him marry me.
So they have not been without their trials and tribulations, and they have displayed so many of them on television. Mm-hmm. They have been under scrutiny. You've seen tears. You've seen love. You've seen joy. You've seen it all. Well, Rashida and Kirk have been very open about their relationship issues on the faved show Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. They've been married for over 20 years.
On the what show?
On the faved show, Love
Who's
and Hip Hop.
Faving it?
You so bad.
Faving it?
You ain't even gonna let me set it up. Put your clothes back on, L'Oreal. Snap your bra back, sis. Oh, she ready to take it off. Now, okay. Kirk and Rashida have been married for 20 years. And just shout out real fast, Rashida don't even look like she could be married for 20 years.
Oh, my God. Not at all.
She looks so good. And that has nothing to do with the point, but baby Black don't crack. Girl, what you drinking? Mm. Well, they've been going on for 20 years strong, over 20 years. They're still going strong. And even though a lot of their marriage issues haven't completely stopped, they have been embarking on several business ventures together. I just saw a post. They had a big event the other night celebrating Rashida at the Frost Lounge by OLG down off of Peter Street in Atlanta. Yeah. Uh-huh. They still get into the bag. They just bought a lot of property. They're doing developments around the city of Atlanta. And so navigating
their... I'm tired of them breaking in the cars on that block over there by OLG. But okay,
well, you got a lot of bosses owning stuff over there. So, you know, security change when bosses come through. You know, it's real different. So navigating their relationship in the public eye has not necessarily always been easy, but they have found it rewarding more recently, only to learn that they have been helping so many couples. So Kirk says that men come up to him all the time and tell them how he has inspired them to go back home, to commit to making their marriage work. I think a lot of times it is very easy to just hang it up, go out there and get something else, especially if you're a man with money and some fame. But Kirk has gone through the fire. He's gone through the scrutiny. He's gone through the side eyes and the whispers and people having something to say.
He's gone through most of the women in Atlanta.
And he is still with his wife. He loves her as he should. He be a fool to leave Rashida.
Yeah, Rashida is popping. popping.
She everything. So what do you think about couples sharing their business on reality shows? I know you're a very transparent person, but by the same token, you are a very conscious person where you don't want to put stuff out there that you know is going to garner a negative response because people have stuff to say. So like, how do you feel about them being married for so long and putting so much of their business in the streets?
I mean, God bless them. You know what I mean? Because I can't do it. Like when I was on Love & Hip Hop, I lied about having a boyfriend. And that was part of the issues I had with them. I actually lived with somebody.
You of all people lied?
I lied about having a boyfriend. It was because my situation was super messy. And I ain't wanted to get messier on TV. Mm. And I knew for a fact that it would have got messier on TV and it would have brung other people into it. And like, I'm not like, we talked about Young Miami last episode. I'm not in the business for making other people famous off of my pain and what I've got going on. So I'd rather just lie and you got a problem with me than me be looking crazy up there. But like, I'm not about to do that. Like, what I look like, your manager girl? So with my situation, it was that it was a baby mom that just wasn't, she was just unruly. And I just didn't want her to be associated with me ever, let alone on television. So I chose to do and go that route. You know, they did know though. They tried to have somebody call it out on the show whatever the case. But that I was gonna let my situation play out in real life and not on TV, because the thing with them is about the Love & Hip Hop producers is that it may be a real situation, but they make it worse. Like they get in the middle of things and they escalate and they tell you something and they tell the person something. Think about it. Rashida mother was ready to physically fight Kurt.
Like I remember that.
Like, you don't never
that motorcycle.
I love my mommy. I never want to see my mother out of character or having producers pull her strings. It would break my heart. So they strong. That's why I say they better than me when it comes to that, because I'm not. And to me, I feel like the person that's benefiting the most, forget the couples at home, is Mona Scott. Like you're benefiting off of the pain of my family. And that's how I look at it.
About all the couples? Like, what about all the men? The ones that come up to Kirk and tell Kirk, like, you know what, bro? You made me rethink my situation. Like, I looked up and realized my girl was where I needed to be. And you helped me get there. What about those people?
I don't believe it. And I'm sorry.
The thing is, you ain't even sorry.
I don't believe it. Like, not even that. He not, like, I don't believe that he gets so many people. And I feel like if they do, it's just because they don't have nothing else to say. Like, sometimes people come up to you and be like, yo, America's Next Top Model. Like, they don't know what to say. They just so excited.
I believe them, though, because... You know, that's the beauty of television, right? Television is created for a few reasons. It's for reality, which is relatable, someone that you can identify with, and for an escape. And I think that Love & Hip Hop, like a lot of television shows, they give us a little bit of both. You give us an escape. You see these people in these fancy cars and going to these trips and living this life that you would never know about. But then you also see them have issues like normal people have. You know, you got to go to the grocery store to get some more milk when you run out of milk. And it's normal.
I'm not the person to ask about this, because I don't believe nothing on Love & Hip Hop. And this is only because, like, I just told you.
I do. And I'll tell you why. Mona Scott used to be my manager. And I know that everybody does not feel the same way about her. However, saw Rich Dollaz, ex-girlfriend and mother of his child, on the show. Going through some legal work, right? Okay. And she was about to go to jail for allegedly attempted murder for her dude. It was crazy mess. So I called Mona and I was like, yo, Mona, is this real or is this fake? And she was like, it's real.
I'm not saying
this is real. I want Mike to help her. So Mike ends up working for her for over 2 years and got her cleared from that murder charge and returned her home to her family.
And that's great. I'm not saying every single situation. Like, I don't think they had a fake baby to bring into the situation. Like, of course, there's things that happen that they bring into your storyline. But the fact that I even have to write up a storyline to me seems bogus. You want me to tell you what's about to happen to me? See, like, the behind the scenes stuff that I know and what they did with me and what my situation was may not be like everybody else's, but I know a lot of my stuff was played up people that I never hung out with were my best friends. People that I know, you know
Welcome
what I mean?
To television.
Exactly. And this is all I'm saying to you is so much fake in the reality that I can't see. And I've never personally watched any of these shows and been like, damn, yo, I could really feel like I want to do X, Y, Z because Stevie J did it. Like, that's just, and again, this is me, but I also have a negative experience with them, which I just spoke to one of the producers a couple of days ago because they reached out to me and I said, I'm not interested in doing anything with Love and Hip Hop because of my experience there. Now, I don't know what they're going to do and throw on TV or try to make me look from old footage or whatever the case, because I said that, but I did say Mona Scott could come and promote it if she wants to, and they ignored me, but they were reaching out to me for days after days after day. Can you come film? I can't. No. And you know what? I did not forget how y'all treated me and what happened 10 years ago. And that's why I can't back this. So maybe you have a different opinion or anybody
I definitely
else?
Have a different opinion. I've done reality TV. I started my career in 2003 on one of the most famous reality shows known
which is
to
a,
man.
A competition.
It
How
was a competition
really
based,
about
so
that,
I must
know?
Say when I went over to Housewives of Atlanta, I was unpleasantly very surprised at the conjuring and the producing of people's lifestyles and worlds that weren't true. However, I have a new season of Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip coming out on June 23rd on Peacock and Bravo. And that, I just got a text from Andy Cohen yesterday that literally said, Eva, this is the first time I think the world is going to see the real Eva. So in certain instances,
but
and
you get
sometimes,
what I'm saying.
Depending on the producers, they do overplay and overreach, and then they omit a lot of what is truth. But this time, per my understanding, they might have gotten it right. So
finally, because I see you on Housewives, and I'm like, this is not the same loving, great person that I know.
You know
and
me.
They try to make you look a certain way, and it just happened. That's television, which I'm not upset about it. But I'm not gonna sit here and say I look up to Love and Hip Hop people.
No, but it is a fade show by a lot of people. And I do want to slide into Will Smith real fast because we just heard that he had a vision before the big Oscar debacle. And I need you to break down where our guy, yes, he is still our guy, Will Smith was at and is at right now.
Listen, so Will Smith was on a new episode of My Guest Needs No Introduction. I don't know if you have watched this season.
I love this show.
First of all, I love David Letterman. I don't know what, like some
That
people...
was my first talk show I ever did was David Letterman. And you couldn't tell me. That's why I was like, Mama, I made it.
So I'm not going to lie. Anybody that knows me should already know the first episode I went to was Kevin Durant. Like, I love Kevin Durant, my number one anything player. I love Kevin Durant.
DC's own.
I was so excited. Yes, DC's own. DMV stand up. And that was an amazing episode. Cardi B.
What?
Great episode.
Killed it.
She took him to go get a chopped cheese. He played shuffleboard with Kevin Durant. It's just great. I also even liked, what's the guy named? Ryan Reynolds. He's the one that plays Deadpool.
Yes.
I watch, and because I like Blake Lively, because I watch Gossip
I love
Girls.
Blake. But the fact that David Letterman went to the hood, though, I was so here for all of it.
In the hood with the chopped cheese in the corner store.
But
anyway, now he sat down also with Will Smith. And no, before you ask, the slap was not talked about because allegedly this was before they filmed. They filmed this before the Oscars. Anyway, he did speak on his psychedelic trip he had. And he predicted his career downfall. Like, so I guess he took what, shrooms or something?
He took some ayahuasca.
Oh, ayahuasca. Okay, so this is something, which, you know, I heard it's really just boiled shrooms. That's the secret.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah, that's what I was told. Anyway, while talking to David Letterman, Will Smith said that he took ayahuasca, hallucinogenic tea. It's 14 times that he took this tea within 2 years. And that's probably why he was acting a little different. You know what I mean? I heard once you do ayahuasca, you're kind of just like off from there and then you bring it back in. Well, during one of the trips, he saw his career going away. He saw his career going away. He said, once you drink it, you're going to see yourself in a way you've never seen yourself. One of the experiences was the individual most hellish psychological experiences in my life. So I'm drinking and I'm sitting there. And then all of a sudden, it's like I start seeing all of my money flying away. Like if Jada divorced me. No, he didn't say that. And my house is what?
Oh. I'm listening. I'm taking my clothes off.
My house is flying away. Like if Jada divorced me. And my career is going away. Like if I slap Chris Rock on stage at the Oscars. Anyway, he added, my whole life is getting destroyed. This is my fear in real life. And I'm there and I'm wanting to vomit and all that. And I hear a voice saying, this is what the F it is. This is what the F life is. That scares me. I'm never doing ayahuasca or mushrooms again. Anyway.
Oh my goodness.
What do you think about Will's trippy premonition? And did you ever do ayahuasca before?
So when it comes to his premonition, I feel like a lot of us are clairvoyant and we don't listen to it. And then some of us are a little bit more in tune to that voice and to those things and visions that we are blessed to see. I know I see a lot of visions and things before they happen, like in full picture. And then when it happens, it's like the idea of deja vu, but it's not like I saw it all and it wasn't a thought. It was like a day where I sit and had it. But, you know, I think what this is a realization for him and him being in tune with his spirit man and his truest fear, because we do work really hard and we are our biggest critics. And a lot of time our fear is losing what we have worked so hard to gain. And so for him to have feared only what could happen, because I don't resign to the idea that his career is over. It is not over. I don't think that he is done for. It's not. I think that everything that God has for him, he will still receive. And I think that he's still an extremely amazing, talented actor, producer, and his best role is still yet to come. And he killed Ali. So I don't think it's over for him.
Part of the main reason why he'll never go away is what we talked about last episode. And that is the fact that he can fund his own projects. Wow. He does have his own projects. Yeah, he can do that. And there are so many platforms that are Black run and owned that will accept him with open arms, regardless of what he did, because we always are the ones sitting there with our arms open, even when we get slapped in our face. But
Bad Boy 4 is happening. I know there were rumors about they're going to pull it. First of all, you must not know Martin Lawrence, because if there was ever a reason for him to want to do it even more, Martin Lawrence has his own issues. He has his issues with the law. Y'all saw him in D.C. in the middle of the street. It was hot. He was outside in that jogging suit. He was
never going to live that down, is he?
No,
all he did was do some ayahuasca and ran in the street. But it's okay because Will Smith did it in the woods. Okay.
Listen.
So, Will will be fine, you know, and all those are rumors. Even the ones about the other movies, those were all rumors. Nobody is stopping production. They already had an issue at Bad Boys 4 why they stopped production a long time before.
And it had to do with the script. It didn't have anything to do. And they had, I mean, think about it. Bad Boy by itself didn't even need a number two. So for them to have done a number two, they leveled up. Then they did a number three all 20 something years later and leveled up even more. Y'all got to make sure that script right, baby, before you come back for four. Leave it alone.
That's right. But what I will say is, you ever have a situation where you try so hard not to do something that you end up doing it?
Yep.
And I'm not saying that his career is ended, because it's not, but this is devastating to his legacy as far as what we know Will Smith to be. And that's the good guy, the family guy, the clean cut guy, no matter what the rumors were. That when in the August situation, we all looked at Jada like, you bitch. You know what I mean? Because it was Will Smith. No matter how much we loved Jada and Low Down Dirty Shame and this is that, just from then, you know what I mean? We've always loved and stood up for Jada. But when she did that to our beloved Will Smith, oh, we didn't like that. You know what I mean? Then we start turning on her a little
bit. But for this one, sis, and just work with me here while I say this. I think that this is the best thing that can happen to Will Smith. And this is why. Overcoming your biggest fear and being able to climb on top of that mountain, there is nothing you can't scale. And if this man's biggest fear was losing his career, was not looking like the perfect person in the public eye, it is the idea of a smeared image. If that was his biggest fear and it actually has happened and he's still alive and he's still breathing and he's still thriving, if that does not give him a reminder or at least the confirmation that he is good, you're going to be okay. If you can conquer this and beat this, you can beat anything.
Yeah, but I will say, like, that just attests to the type of person he is, resilient, and the fact that he is that good, nice guy that we always want to give him. But this is why I will say, stay away from things like this. Stay away from ayahuascas and stay away from psychics. And that's what I say, because sometimes, and I'm saying this only if you can't receive the information and just let it go. Because some people will be fixated on these things to the point where they bring it into their life. It's like the laws of attraction.
The conjuring it.
Yeah, like
the
there's been things that a reading or something has told me and it's been negative, and I rebuke it. You know, I don't, you know, I'm still a God-fearing woman. So I'm like, no, God got me. There's no way XYZ is going to happen. And I don't even think about it again. But when you fixate on career, my career is going to be over. My career is going to be anytime, any minute now. My house is going to be like, you're kind of around every corner. You're looking for it. So of course.
But are you fixating or are you okay with the idea that life might not always be this perfect,
but you'll be okay? You know your fears. I don't need a T to tell me my fears.
Yeah, well, some of us suppress them and some of us walk as if we don't feel the way we feel. We suppress our feelings and what is truth so that we can move through the day. But only a matter of time is that stuff going to come up. And I think that that's what we're seeing here. No matter how much you can post and make fun posts and do all of this greatness, truth is truth and it's going to come out at some point. But to deal with your truth, that's the healing part. That's what's cathartic.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have to go through tragedy in order to come out on top.
You shouldn't, but baby, we Black people, that's what happened to us.
Well, we're used to that. And that's what I mean. Like, we got to stop tormenting ourselves in order to think that this is what's going to be great for us is if we get through tragedy. Like, no, we deserve greatness and we deserve to be able to be great forever, not to have the tax lien on you. Now you went to jail. Now that's on your name. Or running butt naked in the street because you was, now that's on your name. Or Dave Chappelle going to Africa. Now
that's called social media.
But you get what I'm saying.
I do, but it's impossible.
All things they fed into it. That's ayahuasca.
But that's the humanity. I mean, it's going to happen. We are not without our flaws. To err is human. So I think even while you look at our largest leaders and, you know, people that we admire, they're not without their own struggles and personal things. And that's what makes their greatness so great is because they are just mere flesh.
But he already got cheated on and we already was on your side. Then you had to slap Chris Rock.
You're listening to the Undressing Room podcast presented by Macy's. Go ahead, check out our personal Macy's shopping page at Macy's.com/The Undressing Room. Now, L'Oreal, I got to talk about one of my favorite actresses of all time, the GOAT, the one and only Viola Davis.
When
she speaks, we absolutely listen. Mm-hmm. She either is speaking the truth to power or she is uplifting the Black community. More recently, Viola Davis shared in an interview in 2022 at Cannes Film Festival, she explained that a director that she worked with once called her by his maid's name. She said, quote, "I had a director who did this to me. He said, Lois. Now, I knew him for 10 years and he kept calling me Lois. And then I found out that it was because his maid's name is Lois. And I was maybe around 30 at the time. So it was a while ago. But what you have to realize is that those microaggressions happen all the time." So she mentioned the lack of actresses with darker complexions in leading roles on shows and on movies. And she says that she feels like it's very intentional. She also told that she wasn't beautiful enough or light enough to have leading roles in romantic comedies. She said, let's be honest. What? If I had the same features and if I were five shades lighter, it would be just a little bit different. If I had blonde hair and blue eyes and even a wide nose, still, it would be just a little different. And that is what it is. Now, we can talk about colorism, we can talk about race, but it pisses me off and it has broken my heart on a number of projects, which I will not name. She's speaking on racism and colorism in Hollywood, the truth of it in today's 2022, and as she came up through the ranks. So what do you think, being in this business, Lo? Do you think that things are getting better in Hollywood for Black and actors of color?
I'm going to say yes. And the reason why I'm going to say yes is because now we are starting, not starting, but it's been happening, where we're realizing that we don't need a seat at their table because we could create our own. So what I mean by that is big shout out to people like Will Packer, big shout out to people like Tyler Perry, who Tyler Perry built his whole own sound stage and everything, and has so many great things being in production there that can happen, a film stage, that could be happening at one time. We don't need to go to Warner Brothers to use their film stage no more. We don't have to have Harvey Weinstein letting us into movies and things like that, even though one of the women he let into movies, Oprah Winfrey, one of his biggest supporters, but he did put her in certain good spaces, and we don't ever know why or what agreement or whatever they had going on. But nowadays, it's ways that you can even film your own stuff and get these streaming platforms.
So that's what I was going to speak to. Yeah. So in the last 2 years, I've been working in, I have been a SAG-AFTRA paid member and my dues since 2005.
Right.
And it's 2022. So that just gives you a few years, the idea. I've been around for a while. I've seen a lot of stuff change. In the last 2.5 years, with the pandemic being as real as it is, the truth is, networks and streaming apps did not have projects. They have passed up Black projects and projects from people of color for so long. Now, what happened is the pandemic hit. Production stopped. So all the shows that are your favorite shows, all the stuff that you are ready to watch, even down to sports, they released, ESPN released that Michael Jordan documentary 2 months before it was supposed to come out because they didn't have content.
Come on now.
Only to then see our content being good. Our content has been, you know, thought-provoking. It has been expansive. It has been creative, artistic content. However, we have not had the ability to put it on. Now, the content you're seeing now, this stuff ain't new. I mean, they're projects that have been pitched to Netflix 7-8 years ago that are just now. And we're like, oh my God, you see this new show. We have been enough. It is now time that they know that we are enough. And we have enough platforms, the BET Plus platforms. Look at Regina King. Regina King went from Friday to The Harder They Fall.
That's huge. And she's directing her own movies as well.
Yep.
And one other thing I do want to say, like you said, the streaming platforms, they're next. And what I mean by that is big shout out to my boy Rush at the For Us By Us Network, because they're definitely working. They haven't even fully launched. They did a soft launch. They have the full launch coming soon. And hopefully I have something exciting to tell y'all as well. But I will say that I rock with him and Jay Alexander, what they're doing, because they have this streaming platform like Netflix that is Black content, and they are giving people an opportunity and chance and explaining to you how you can own your content and sell your content and lease your content. And also, big shout out to, even though sometimes I even on my morning show, because I'm just going to be honest about anything, doesn't matter white, Black, or other, but Zeus Network, I also want to give a shout out to, because there was plenty of people that were blackballed from networks and were told by like Mona Scotts and those kind of people, oh, you're not going to work in this business again. And guess what? They're right there doing their own shows, producing
shows. Yep.
And that's where I have to give him his props, because these people that were used as pawns are now creators and executive producers. And that's what we are doing for our own people. So I don't care what her guy called her, the maid. Now I'm going to blame Viola Davis, and I'm going to tell you why. But it's because Viola Davis, you are freaking dope. You have the biggest platform I feel like you've ever had of your whole entire career. Step away and go work with some of these Black platforms and show them that we don't.
She did Shonda Rhimes' show. I mean, it's a leading
Black
woman.
Shonda Rhimes is huge. You talking
and
about
she
like,
Black.
And I'm not saying, but don't stop there is what I'm saying.
But I will say, like Tyler Perry said in Black AF with Kenya Barris, Tyler super serves his base. He does not care to serve the white people. He does. That is not his focus. That is not his desire. That is not who he makes his content for. Mm-hmm. He makes his content for us, by us, for the world that we live in, for our truth, for our pain, for our laughter, for our culture. He makes them for us. And I think that you make such a poignant point about redirecting our intentions as artists and be okay to make stuff for us and by us. I mean, that's the only reason why I act. I act to represent my people.
Right. But then these are same people talking about that's low budget. That's da 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 da. Stop judging, because these people are putting their heart, earn money.
Yeah, Moonlight was low budget too, and it was passed up by at least 9 different studios, and it ended up winning an Oscar. So I digress. In the last segment, you said something about basically conjuring and welcoming in ideas and things that you want. Yeah. So what have you done to welcome in the DMs that we need today?
Listen,
as it goes down.
You know, I just be being myself. I be chilling, but like people like either like the chillingness or they don't, and they express themselves either in my DM or in my comments.
This What's one their was expression actually, today?
This one was in my comments, which was so funny. Well, he actually left several comments back to back to back, because I think that's how people think they get your attention.
Well, what it was the post? Time.
Okay, so he said, "You're gorgeous. I listen to you every single morning on the morning hustle. And girl, I like your style, especially when you say poom poom. And because of that,
I like when you say poom poom too."
And I be hearing people steal it now. I heard mad people saying it. It's funny because initially, before I finish reading it, initially, y'all know I had a little struggle with being on air on radio because I came from podcasting. So I was used to cursing and being able to say whatever I wanted. So when it got to me talking a little nasty, I didn't know what word I could use for vajayjay. And I just thought vajayjay just seemed so like young or whatever.
I've heard poom poom before, not as much as you use
not
it,
as
but
much as me
poom,
right
poom.
Now I made it like my thing. So
I love that.
Everybody uses poom poom on our show. Okay, so he said, I especially like when you say poom poom. And because of that, I would really like to meet you sometime soon. You're full of good vibes, and I'm full of love for you, baby.
Oh, he's a kid.
No, it's actually a grown-ass man.
Cool. Baby,
he said, I'm not gonna lie, he looks like a serial killer.
Oh, why can't it always just be full circle? Why
it's not ever full circle? And why? It's just funny. The fact that you like the fact that he likes that I say poom poom.
I do.
That alone, if you're telling me, yo, I really like you because you say poom poom, I'm like.
Okay, because that means he listens to the show. And if anyone like has that, ever listened like to The Morning Hustle with L'Oreal and Haircrack, then they have heard you passionately talking about something and have to censor yourself and have to surf for the word poom poom in the middle of your flowing thought. It is hilarious.
Boom boom. It sounds like a good thing. You know
it
what
does I'm... sound like a good thing.
Okay, I got another one, and I feel like somebody did something similar to me a while ago, a few episodes
what happened?
Ago. But this one I know. I don't think I remember who the other one was. Anyway, we met a while back. I think I dropped the ball. Then I met someone and just figured you did too. I was wondering if you're still single so we could try again.
Oh.
No.
Uh-huh.
See, the problem with balls is they bounce, and sometimes they bounce into the street. And sometimes they bounce into the street. Your ball got ran over. You know, like, when, you know when the kids are like, no! And then the ball just goes flat. That was his ball.
I'm going to give you some hope, bro. Shoot your shot. Now, you might miss, but shoot your shot. I ain't even mad at you. I ain't even mad. I'm sorry. He
shoot
got
your listen. Shot, and a bullet might go astray.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, nah. Don't circle the block around here. Because if I gave you a chance, knowing me, it was hard enough for me to give you chance number one, because I'm super funny about who I even give a chance to, let alone a second one. So if you decided that you met somebody and you just scrolled with her, keep on a scrolling, sir, because that's it. Like, you, how I know you ain't going to
no taxi backsies?
No taxi backsies. I also got a quick one, really okay. quick. I thought it was ignorant, though, so I was going to leave it out. But it seems as though
hit me with it real
they
fast.
Want more. Let's go together. We don't have to F.
Go where?
I don't know, but we don't have to F.
Wait a minute. Wait, what am I missing in the DMs today? The last two. I feel like there should have been a story first. What am I missing?
Story. It was no story.
Well, you how old are they? Go where? You
I
mean
don't
like
know this
date?
Man. His avatar is a pile of money.
Sir, were you going to the bank? Sir, I'm talking to you from the Undressing Room podcast as L'Oreal's friend. Sir.
You acting like a poom-poom.
You acting like a poom-poom. Speaking of poom-poom, I do have a final question to Undress. And L'Oreal, the ladies
girl.
Ain't looking good today. So,
uh-oh.
You know, usually the fellas are out here reckless, and this is prime space and opportunity to put them at the top of the docket and break them all the way down. However, equity must be given across the board. We keep that same energy with everyone. And the final question to Undress today is from Uncut Gems.
I'm nervous.
All right. Was about to get annoyed until I realized that it was her. Won't he do it? Hallelujah. Well, there's a picture of a man and a woman, and they look like a couple. It says, if God is for you, who can be against you? Now, a woman posted a TikTok with her husband with an overlay caption, and it says, a marriage could never survive infidelity, dancing and thanking God for the survival of their marriage. Now, at first, when people saw the post, they thought it was too much, and they were just simply tired of seeing women taking their cheating husbands back until they decided to do what's so fundamental and read and continue down.
Which nobody ever does.
Saw that it was the woman that had cheated, not the man. And girl, the comment section took a drastic run. I mean, a drastic change. So it went from the women being irritated that men are continuously taking us for granted and cheating on us. And it flipped to women praising the husband for staying in this relationship. So why do you think that men are more likely and expected to leave after infidelity from a woman than a woman is to leave after a man might cheat on her?
Because that's what they say. They're like, you know, if a woman steps out on a man, oh, that's totally different because you're supposed to be treating your body like a temple. Me, I'm a man. We
but
do
who
whatever.
They cheating with, though? Ain't it another woman?
They don't care about that.
But I'm
just
saying
the fact that they got to look right in the situation.
But I mean, the math not mathing. If a woman is supposed to not
be their woman, their woman.
Well,
woman.
She's somebody else's woman.
No. They don't care about somebody else's. Just like with the daughters. Is you say the same thing. Like, would you treat your daughter like this? No, he definitely wouldn't. But he'll treat your ass any kind of way. Not all guys, but certain guys. But I know guys that have nothing but daughters. And they're the worst. Like, but they treat their kids a certain kind of way where they're like, no, then my baby's not going to be doing this. And my baby's not going to be doing that. And they act like it's you that's out here, but it's you, the guy that's treating the woman bad. You just making her that way. So your daughter could be in that same exact situation where the man is like, oh, well, I'm gonna treat my daughter good, but this girl over here is just a girl. Or, you know, they're not saying girls, they're saying bees. This
that
bee
part.
Is just a bee. You know
so
what
do you think about, like, is there equity across the board? Like, say if you have a sister and you have a brother and your sister cheated on her husband and your brother cheated on his wife. Is one better or not as bad as the other?
No, but the men always get the excuses. Ooh, you know, it'll always be like, well, he's a man. He's supposed to do that. He's a man. It's in his nature. Men are not made to be loyal. I've heard so many things when it comes to excuses for a man cheating. But then when a woman cheats, called out her name. She's disgusting. She's a homewrecker. It's all these nasty
names. Why do they do that?
I mean, it's just. To be honest with you, this is going to sound crazy maybe, but like, I feel like this goes all the way back to slavery days. Mm. And I'm going to tell you why. I feel like some men understood that the woman was getting raped, right? There was nothing she could do. She couldn't fight against it. If they took the man out the house, whatever the case. Some men were actually jealous that thought that the woman liked when Massa raped her. You know what I mean? Or when Massa took her to the rooms and this and that. So I feel like there's some sort of disdain that has always stuck around from that. And you might think that I'm crazy on that, but I do think that there's a connection because even with like a meme I seen the other day, I wish I could remember exactly what was happening.
So I'll tie something into that, not completely agreeing, but in that space of the way in which we were raised and mm-hmm. the way in which we cultivated our ideas of what a man and a woman is in this country during slavery was the idea of the Anglo perpetuating positioning by religion. And with that, they tried to validate a lot of what a man is and is not, and what a woman is and is not per scripture in the Bible. And we as Black people have taken that doctrine to be the letter of the law and have decided to live our life by it. With that being said, they don't see women with the opportunity to have an idea of individuality, of independence, with the ability to do the same providing that a man can do, the same fishing that a man can do. So I think it definitely comes back from our formative years in this country and slavery. But I think it is embedded into us and ingrained in so many ways.
So many different ways.
So yeah. Yes. And so I feel you on that.
Yeah, because the both of them combined, think about it, that still devalues the Black woman. It still devalues women, you know, and at any given
and
time.
While they raped our women, they raped our men too. If we're going to talk about it. They did it all the way across the way, raped our men in numbers we cannot even begin to count.
And that was more of an ashamed thing that you hid, whereas the woman, you couldn't hide it because 9 times out of 10, you got pregnant.
I was going to say, they had little girls that looked
now,
like us.
Yeah, now you had the babies and now you have to raise their babies and you're resenting that as well. So there is plenty of things that got looked at as our fault or whatever the case that I feel like is still taken out on us to this day. And women have always been looked at as less than, even when we've tried to pick our men up. I always say this when I looked at the Madam C.J. Walker movie on Netflix.
Yes.
And she literally was like, listen, it was her idea that she stole too. But she told the husband, like, look, this could be what we doing. This is how we making money. And at first he was. But then when he seen it was her name that was on top and I'm supposed to be the man. And it's like, who cares? You were broke. Like, y'all are rich
and
now.
And then when she made it, she tried to get the light-skinned Black girl to be the face of the brand. And she was like, hold up. This is for girls that look like me. That's the whole reason why I'm doing it.
Exactly. Exactly. So that goes to show you, you know, how we're looked at. And it's so many different reasons. So it's things that we have to unlearn.
Yes.
Just period. And it should start in your household with how you would want your daughter to get treated. And period. And we should stop attacking everybody for making mistakes. Everybody exactly. makes mistakes. Whether
that's
it's
why
cheating.
I like this post, not yeah. because it's messy, but I like this post because it's honest. And to see that it's not just men, it's not just women. Equity across the board, where she can forgive you, homeboy, you can forgive her.
Yes,
where you
be.
Fall, bro, she can fall too.
There
and kind of try to level this playing field and the ideas and expectations for people. So I appreciate that sis put this up, and I appreciate that bro stood there by his woman. Now, that was our final question. And if you would like to be the final question to Undress, then go ahead and follow us on Instagram at The Undressing Room Podcast. DM us for your chance to be featured. Well, L'Oreal, I have to go put my clothes on because I got moisture in areas that they're not supposed to be in. So I'm going to put my clothes back on, go take a shower for a second.
Okay, me too. It's a little hot. It's a lot.
Thank y'all for getting undressed with us today. Put your clothes on. We're going to see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. The Undressing Room podcast, presented by Macy's, is an Urban One Reach Media production, hosted by the one, the only, Eva Marcille and L'Oreal.
Executive produced by Kobe Cope Tyner. Associated producer Alexis Felder. Editing and production by Dunkus. Sales and corporate partnership, Josh Romani, Michelle Marino, and Kadisha Campbell. Research, Lori Hall Flowers. Digital marketing, Sam Stiers, J.R. Davis, and Tim Hall. Digital creative, Alvin Francis.
Content provided by MadamNoir.com, Bossom.com, and HipHopWire.com. Stay connected at TheUndressingRoomPod.com. See you at the next episode.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.